Parshat Bishalach contains the Parsha of the Man, which on many levels is quite a significant Parsha, especially in terms of various aspects of Dinei Shabbos. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos in Avkuf Yitzayim Udeis that the Halach of Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, as well as the Halach of Suda Shabbos, stem from the Parsha Haman. The Torah tells us that, according to the Chachamim, one is obligated to have three Sudas on each and every Shabbos, and according to Rav Kidko, one is obligated to have a total of four Sudas. And both are Dorish the same Pasuk. The Pasuk of Ichlu Hayom Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem Hayom Lo Simtzuhu Basadeh. The Pasuk begins Ichlu Hayom, to eat on the day of Shabbos, and the term Hayom is mentioned three times in the Pasuk, and therefore the Gemara derives the Chiyuv of three Sudas on each and every Shabbos. Rav Chidko maintains that the Pasuk says Ichlu Hayom. That's referring to the day of Shabbos. In addition to that, a person is obligated to have a Suda Balayla, so therefore a total of four Sudas. The Gemara doesn't explain what is the source of this fourth Suda, but it seems obvious from the Gemara that there must be two different Makoros for Suda Shabbos, because Rav Chidko's Doresh the Pasuk Ichlu Hayom. You have to have three meals during the day of Shabbos. You would have expected Rav Chidko should say the three meals Bayom. The fact that Rav Chidko says lahalach a person is obligated to have four is just very telling that apparently aside from that pasuk there must be something else which is driving the chiyuv suda and Shabbos and perhaps yontif as well. The Rishonim debate whether this chiyuv of suda and Shabbos is considered to be a din d'oraisa or whether in fact it's a din d'rabbanan. When you look in the Prima Gadim, the Prima Gadim writes Nilchos Shabbos and Reis Sari Aleph that suda Shabbos is only a din d'rabbanan. That's in fact how we assume the halacha, that this pasuk of Ichlu Hayom is only considered to be an asmachta. But yet, if you look in some of the Rishonim, they indicate that this in fact is d'oraisa. If you look in the Ur Zaruah, in Hilchos Erev Shabbos and Simin Yadalid, there the Ur Zaruah writes explicitly that Suda Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's the basis of the kasha that Rabbi Yaakov raises in Ur Zaruah, that how is it possible to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush as well as the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos during Tosefe Shabbos. But the Gemara is explicit that one doesn't have to wait until Tzeisa Kochavim for Kiddush. The Gemara says that Rav Tzali Shal Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos Umakadesh, the Sugim Brachos Andav Chav Zayin, and the Zeruah adds to the Kasha, not only is it true of Kiddush, but it's even true of Suda Shabbos as well. And therefore the Zeruah questions, how is it you can fulfill the mitzvah of Ichlu Hayom Nibod Yom? And the answer that the Rizro gives, it's based on the mitzvah of Tosefes, and this is one of the rayas that the Rizro mentions, that Tosefes Shabbos must in fact be a din daraisa, because if Tosefes was only a din darabanan, how is it that one could fulfill the mitzvos of Shabbos, which are daraisa bizman ha-Tosefes? But for our purpose, you see clearly that the Rizro maintains that Suda Shabbos in fact is a din daraisa. And if you look in the Sefer Yireim, in mitzvah tzadites, the Sefer Yireim writes that this is a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that the Navi Yeshayah in Perek Nun Ches, v'karos l'Shabbos Oneg, v'kadosh Hashem u'chubad, so the Navi redacted the Dinei Kavod, the Dinei Oneg, but the Sefer Yireim writes that this in fact is a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. So Chiddush, Yireim halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, or Zeruah Din Darais, and Prima Gadim writes, we assume as Rav Rishonim, this is only considered to be in Asmachta. When you look in the Taz, which is found in Hilchos Chanukah in Tafrei Shain Ches, there the Taz writes a Chiddush that not only a Suda Shabbos Daraisa, but even Lechem Mishnah is Daraisa as well. Because after all, these drashos of the Gemara Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, based on the Parsha Saman, these are Dinim Daraisa. So the Gemara is Doresh, the Minyan Hasudos. And also the Gemara tells us the Chiv of Lechem Mishnah, of course, is based on the double portion of Man on Erev Shabbos. And therefore the Taz writes both are considered to be Dinim Daraisa. The Taz writes this in Hilchos Chanukah, is mentioned in the beginning of Tafrei Shain Ches, because the Taz refers you to the sugyas of Kedima. What happens if a person, for example, can only go ahead and afford to purchase a Ner Shabbos or a Ner Chanukah, right? Which one, in fact, would be Adiv? So that's what the Taz cites, the Gemara, that Ner Shabbos is Adiv because of Shalom Bayis. And if it's Ner Chanukah versus the Yayin for Kiddush, right, the Taz writes that Ner Chanukah would prevail because of Persumen Issa. So the state of the Taz writes is Ner Shabbos, then Ner Chanukah, and then the Yayin of Kiddush. And what about when it comes to Lechem Mishnah? So here the Taz writes Lechem Mishnah is a Din D'oraisa. All those other cases of Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah, Yayin for Kiddush, that's all Drabanan. When it comes to Lechem Mishnah, that's a Din Daraisa, right? Then he requotes the Sugin Shabbos, Navkuf Yad Zayin. Not only a Suda Shabbos Daraisa, but even Lechem Mishnah is Daraisa as well. So again, that's an important Kiddush, whether Suda Shabbos is a Din Daraisa, whether in fact it is a Din Darabanan. This could also be relevant for the following. The Gemara writes that we're chayiv on Shabbos and Lechem Mishneh and Suda Shabbos, Kuf Yud Zayin. And both the Ran and Rabbeinu Tam argue that this chiyuv is not only incumbent upon men, but women are obligated in Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishneh. This is the Ran and Shabbos on that daf, and the daf Beharif, it's on daf Mem Dalet, the Sugin Shabbos daf, Kuf Yud Zayin. But the Machlokes Ran and Rabbeinu Tam is, how do we know that this is true? How do we know that women are obligated in Suda Shabbos and in Lechem Mishneh? So the Ran quotes the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, that this is a further example of Afen Hayu Bo Sohanes, that these mitzvos of Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishneh, right, they're rooted in the nes of the man, and therefore Afen Hayu Bo Sohanes. So therefore, in addition to the examples that the Gemara writes of Ner Chanukah and Kriyas HaMegillah and Dalet Kosos, right, the fourth example of Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishneh. And the Ran just comments that really this is not necessary. You don't have to come on to Afin Hayoboso Hanes, because after all, the Gemara writes in Brachos and Davchav that women are obligated in Kiddush. That even though Kiddush is a mitzvah sasei shahazman grama, nonetheless women are obligated based on Zachar v'Shamor, v'Dibor Echad Nemru. So the Gemara already explained that Kol Sheyeshna b'Shmira, Yeshna b'Zachira. So whoever is obligated to refrain from Halacha is obligated in Kiddush. And therefore, the Ran writes, this reflects a much broader halacha. This is not limited to Kiddush. The Kol Sheishno means that whoever is included in the Isser of Asiyas HaMalacha is obligated in all aspects of the Kedusha Sayom, all aspects of Shabbos, and therefore, just as it extends to the mitzvah of Kiddush, it will also extend to Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishneh as well. So the Ran and Rabbi Natan both argue that women are obligated in Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishneh, but for very different reasons, either based on Afen Hayobo Sohanes, or based on Kol Sheishno B'Shmira, Yeshno B'Zachira. If one is willing to assume the Kiddush of Rabbi Natan, that women are chayiv in Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishneh because of Afen Hayobo Sohanes, then, right, this would be relevant to our earlier discussion, whether these are dinim daraisa, whether in fact these are dinim derabanan. Because many Rishonim are of the opinion that the principle of Afen Hayobo Sohanes only applies to mitzvos derabanan. It doesn't apply to mitzvos daraisa. That's three deos, right, in the Rishonim. Right, Tosus points out, in Psachim Adav Kuvches and the Beis, that women are exempt from sukkah, even though sukkah corresponds to kivus sukkos oshavti, we don't assume afen hayavo sohanes. And Tosus points out a further issue, women are obligated in matzah. But how do we know that women are obligated in matzah? Right, the Gemara has some sachim daf mem gimel, right, the drasha. Again, a kol sheyeshna. Kol sheyeshna b'balto chametz, yeshna b'kumach matzah. A hekesh compares chametz and matzah. Whoever is obligated, one is obligated in the other. So Tosus writes, we know women are obligated in matzah based on a drasha, kol sheyeshno. We know women are exempt from sukkah. So what about afen hayobo sohanes? The context of that Tosus is kufches and psachim, because psachim kufches is the sukkim dalet kosos. So once you see that we have a principle of afen hayobo sohanes, and that applies in general, what do you need a specific drasha for matzah? And why do we assume that women are exempt from sukkah? That's what Tosus writes. So Tosus answers very simply, because Afin Habo Samanes is not a concept daraisa. This is only a din derabanan, and it only applies to mitzvahs derabanan. Every example, right, whether it's the case of Megillah, Megillah and Daf Dalet, or the case in Shabbos, right, regarding Ner Chanukah or Pesachim Kuches, when it comes to Dalet Kosos, right, then all those cases, those are all mitzvahs derabanan. So the Chachamim, and when they're koveya mitzvos, like kenegan hanes, they obligated women as well. But when it comes to dinim daraisa, such as mach and sukkah, therefore, this has no relevancy, and therefore, right, if women are obligated, there's a different drasha, and in sukkah, where there is no drasha, so women, in fact, are exempt. That's the chiddush of Tosus and Safi Madav Kuches. You see, Tosus writes But Afen Habosanois does not apply at all to mitzvos daraisa. Tosus raises this very same kasha in Megillah and Daftal Amud Aleph. Then why is it that you require a drasha? And there Tosus gives two different answers. Tosus gives, right, the first answer as follows. It sounds similar, but it's quite different. Tosus writes that why is it that you need a pasuk for matzah? What's wrong with Afen Habosanois? So Tosus writes, because Afen Habosanois would only have created a chiyuv d'rabbanan. That's not what Tosus says himself. Tosus himself says that Afen Habanos is not relevant to Mitzvah Daraisa. The first day in Tosus in Megillah Daf Dalet says, no, I would have applied Afen Habanos to Mitzvah Daraisa, but the chiyuv of women in that mitzvah would only have been d'rabbanan. So that's why you need a pasuk, because Kol Sheyeshnal tells us women are obligated to Mitzvah Daraisa. If you wouldn't have had that pasuk, you would have argued, and you're right, women have to eat matzah, the rabbanon, because of afen hayavosanis. And then Tosus quotes a second possibility, this is the third shita, and that's the view of Rabbi Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, that writes that, wait a second, we have afen hayavosanis. And that principle, right, would tell us that women are obligated in matzah. However, we have a counter drasha, and that's a gzerah shav of tesvav tesvav. The Torah equates Pesach and Sukkot. And we know women are exempt from Sukkot. No, that's the Gemara. Gemara and Sukkot and Chaf Ches that tells us that women are exempt from Sukkot based on the Pesach of Ha'ezrach. So Tosus says that's a problem. If we're going to look elsewhere for models, we have a Gzera Shava of Sukkot that women are exempt. And we have Afin Havosnes that tells us that women are obligated. It's almost like you have Shnei Ksuvim Hachishim Zezeh. But you have Drashos HaSosos HaDali. So that's why the Torah had to tell us that women are obligated in Atzah. Because if not for that, we wouldn't have had an obvious drasha. We could have argued one of two ways. Afen Habosanais, yes, but Tesvav, Tesvav, no. So now you need like a Kosev HaShlishi, Shachriyadim. So you need a Pasuk for this mitzvah. Because in broad strokes, you wouldn't have been able to determine whether women are obligated or not. But for our purpose, what do you see from that Chiddush HaTosus? That Afen Hayavosanes applies to Mitzvah Daraisa, and it creates a Chiyuv Daraisa. Because that would have led us to believe that women are obligated to Matzah Daraisa. And the only reason it's necessary to have a Pasuk is because of the counter drush of Tesvav Tesvav. So an important Chiddush that you see 3 days in the Rishonim. Whether Afen Hayavosanes applies to Dinam Daraisa. According to Tosfos Himsach Mekuvches, it doesn't apply at all. According to the first day in Tosus Megillah Daf Dalet, it does, but it only creates a chiyuv d'rabbanan. And according to Rabbi Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, that no, it applies and creates a chiyuv d'araisa. Is there a nafkamina as to whether day one, day two, day three? So the Prima Gadim and the Birkei Yosef, right? The Prima Gadim is found in Tafayin Tes, in Eishel Avram, and the Birkei Yosef is found in Tafayin Gimel. Both Tafayin Gimel, Tafayin Tes is Hilchos Pesach. Are women obligated in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? There's no Gemara, there's no Drasha Daraisa to tell us whether women are obligated in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Prima Gadim and the Berkei Yosef right, should depend on these 3 days in Tosus. Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah Seisha's man grama. Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, we should apply the principle of Afen Habosanes if we can, but this is a mitzvah Daraisa. So the Prima Gadim and Berkei Yosef right, according to Tosus himself, when Kuches, women should be exempt. And according to Tosus and Megillah Teretz 1, they should be obligated to Rabbanan. And according to Teretz 2, women should be obligated to Mitzvah Daraisa. Important nafkamina. Like the Sefer Achinuch, when he describes the mitzvah, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mitzvah Chaf Aleph, the Sefer Achinuch writes explicitly, V'noheges v'zacharim v'vina kevos. Women are obligated in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Minchas Chinuch writes, Meichatesi. What's the makar to assume that this is true? And he writes, maybe you'll tell me Afen Habosanes. Samin Chasinach writes, Afen Habosanes doesn't apply to Mitzvah Daraisa. And he refers you to the Tosus himself and Av Kuches. Yeah, but Tosus and Megillah Daf Dalet, right, disagrees. Right? In Poshub Shat, the Sefer Achinach is assuming, right, that Afen Habosanes could apply, right, to Mitzvah Daraisa. Poshub Shat, the Sefer Achinach, it creates a Chiyuv Daraisa as well. Right, v'nohagos b'zacherim v'kevos v'chamakam kozman. Sounds like this indeed is a din daraisa. So this could be relevant to our discussion. Again, if you assume as those Rishonim, right? That so the Shabbos, like a Mishnah, is a din d'oraisa. Well, Rabbi Yehudah maintains that afin habosam anes, right, is the basis of the chiyuv of women in these mitzvahs. Right? And that will link to this issue as to what extent you can apply it to mitzvah d'oraisa, to what extent do we assume that you cannot. Regarding this machlokas, the Ran writes, you don't need Rabbi Natam's reason. Let's just fall back to the original drasha of Kol Sheishno Bishmira, Yeishno Bizachir. So if you look in the Kovach Shiurim of Rabbi Chanan, in Sachim, in Os Reish Yud Dalid, Rabbi Chanan writes that this Ran is very, very different. Why is that true? What exactly does the Ran argue? Since we have a drasha that tells us Kol Sheishno, so therefore, Kol Sheishno is not limited to Kiddush, but Kol Sheishno applies to everything. It applies to Siddur Shabbos, it applies to Lechem Mishnah. So you don't need another reason. You don't have to come on to Afein Hayabos HaHaneis. Kol Sheishno is sufficient. So what does every time have to look elsewhere? What's wrong with Kol Sheishno Bishmi Yeshu B'Zachira? Rabbi Chanan writes, what do you mean? That's very difficult. How do you know women are obligated in Matzah? We just said the Gemara Pesach Alef Mem Gimel. Kol Sheishno Balto Chochameis Yeishno Mekom HaMatzah. Mefurish. How do you know women are obligated in Delicosas? And that's also Mefurish. That's the Sugin of Kuches. Afein Habos Haneis. So how can the Ran ask against Rabbeinu Tam? The Gemara applies Kol Sheishno to Chag HaMatzos. And how do you know women are obligated in Delicosas? The Gemara doesn't say that Kol Sheishno is so inclusive that it includes all the mitzvos hayom. Even though we're willing to apply Kol Sheishno, we still have to come on to Afin Habos Haneis for an additional mitzvah of that particular day. So what is the Ran bothered by Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam, the same thing. Even though Kol Sheishno applies to Kiddush, yeah, but Siddur Shabbos, like the Mishnah, you have to come on to additional reason. This is what the Gemara does. So how does the Ran write that Rabbeinu Tam Shita is so difficult? You don't need it. We don't need it. The Gemara has a double drasha when it comes to Pesach. So for whatever reason, a double drasha is needed for Pesach. The same thing is true. When it comes to Shabbos, you have no right to assume Kol Sheishno embraces all of the mitzvah sayon. Paul Shem Shat hands this kasha of Rabbi Chanan, right, against the Ran. The Chor one has to argue as follows. See, the Rambam begins Paraglamatic of Shabbos by saying the following. That arba dvarim nemru b'Shabbos. There are four different chiyuvim of Shabbos. Two are daraisa, the Rambam writes, and b'shnayim, the Rambam says, v'divrei sofrim v'hem mefurashin al yedei hanaviyim. Two are daraisa, and two are mefurashin al yedei hanaviyim. Two are found explicitly in Torah, and the other two were expanded upon, elaborated on by the Chachamim, v'hem mefurashin al yedei hanaviyim. The Rambam writes min haTorah shama b'zachar, v'snis parshu al yedei hanaviim kavod va'onet. Siro Soloveitchik pointed out the language of the Rambam is somewhat unusual. Lechora, we would have said the following: right? There is a takana of the neviim, right? Kavod and onet, the karas of the Shabbos on the kedusha shemachuba. When the Rambam describes, for example, Kriyas Hamegillah. The Ram doesn't start with the mitzvahs deraisa, and there is an ablation to Rabbanan, and the mitzvah kriya samigila was mefurashin al yedei hanaviim. Certainly not. That's a takana midivrei navi. What exactly is the difference between kriya samigila as opposed to kavan v'onet? So Soloveitchik pointed out the following kiddush that you see according to the Rambam. There's a clear distinction. Kriya samigila is a takana d'rabbanan, a takana midivrei navi. Good, that's fine. We have many takanas neviim. That's not true of kavod va'onet. When the Navi Yeshaya stated the karas l'shabbos and kadosh shemachuba, that was not a formal takana. The takana was not the mechayiv, but rather it was a pirish. It was an elaboration of, and that's why the Rambam begins by telling you, look, midaraisa, we have zachar v'shamor, and the neviim expanded. Kavanonet is an expansion of. In what sense is that true? See, when you look at the Rambam, you understand very well. The Rambam describes that the essence of Kiddush, the essence of Havdalah, is to offset, to bookend Shabbos, right, from the rest of the days of the week. The Rambam writes in Perach Havdalah v'cha Shabbos, Shabbos has to be a time of a Shvisa Hanikeres. Shabbos must be distinct. How is it distinct, Daraisa? The answer is, Zohar v'shamor. It's distinct, Daraisa, through Asiyas HaMalacha, that's true. And it's also distinct in terms of the Chiv of Kiddush. And then you understand very well why the Rambam assumes that not only is Kiddush Daraisa, but even Havdalah is Daraisa as well. The Rambam assumes Zechira Shabbos is Bichnisaso v'yitziyaso. Why does that make perfect sense according to the Rambam? Because the mitzvah of Kiddush, of Zechira Shabbach, is to offset Shabbos. So, Bichnisaso v'yitziyaso makes perfect sense that this should apply to Kiddush and Havdalah as well. If you were to understand the mitzvah of Kiddush differently, for example, if you meant Kadesh Liyom, that's what the Ramban writes in the Seras Adibros, Zoch Yisem HaShabbos L'Kadshah, to Mekadesh Liyom, why should you assume Havdalah is Daraisa? Kiddush is Mekadesh Liyom, Havdalah is not Mekadesh Liyom. But if you assume the purpose is Zechira Shevach, as the Ramban writes, to offset, you understand very well, Bichnisaso V'Yisiyaso. In other words, the purpose of the mitzvah of Zachar v'Shamar is to demonstrate the distinctiveness of Shabbos. That's what the Rambam writes in Perech of Tesef of Shabbos. And that's what the Rambam writes in Perech of Dalet of Shabbos, in terms of the concept of Shvisa Nikeres. So when the Navi Yeshaya stated, you should know that there's a concept of Kavo, there's a concept of Oneg, there's Suda Shabbos, there's Dibur b'Shabbos, Divrei Chol, Lohi Lukav k'Shabbos, Ki Lukav b'Chol. What was the Navi Yeshaya doing? These are Takanos Yesh Me'ayin. This is a Takana like Kriyas HaMegillah. No, this is an expansion of that Midaraisa, Shabbos is distinct in terms of Malach and Kiddush and Havdalah, but Midivrei Kabbalah, Shabbos is distinct in many, many other different ways as well. And those are the Halachos of Kavod and Oneg. That's the Chiddush that the Rambam is telling you. That's why the Rambam begins with the whole preamble. You should realize Arba Naru Naru B'Shabbos. Shnei Min HaTorah, V'Shnei Min Divrei Kabbalah V'Im U'Farash Anahei Nevi'im. You understand very well. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out as follows, that Kavod V'Oneg is a Kiyum Daraisa. The particular Misgeres of Kavod and Oneg, that's true, that's the Rabbanan. But there's a Kiyum Daraisa, because the mitzvos of Kavod Oneg, right, an extension of, that is the Shvisa Nikeres. That demonstrates that element of the Kedushas HaShabbos. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, simply on explaining that Rambam, Paraglamat Halacha Aleph, of HaShabbos. That's why the Rambam begins at Abad Dvarim, and the Rambam uses the term twice, Mefurashim, Nisparshu, because this was a Pirish, this was not a Takana. See, when this is in mind, Yechor, you understand the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Once you see this clear link, that the mitzvos derabbanon of Shabbos, Suda Shabbos, Lechem Mishnah, Kavod, Oneg, all of that is an extension of, that's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. That's the Chiddush of the Ramshita. Where, what do you mean? Once you have Zachar v'Shamar, and once women are obligated, and once women are obligated to demonstrate the distinction of Shabbos, they're obligated in Shamar, they're obligated in Zachar, the Ram writes, it makes perfect sense then to assume that this should spill over, that the Kol She'eshnal should carry over to Suda Shabbos, to Lechem Mishnah, because these mitzvos, Midirei Kabbalah, Durabanan, are extensions of the mitzvah Daraisa. So once you have a concept of Kol She'eshna, that despite Zman Grama, here women are obligated, it makes perfect sense that that should spill over to the mitzvahs Durabanan as well. And what was the Kasha B'Chanan? So why not assume the same thing when it comes to Pesach? Pesach is very different. It makes perfect sense to assume that the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah or the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos is an extension of the Dinim Daraisa of Shabbos. But if I would ask you, what about Dalakosis? Dalakosis is an embellishment, it's an explanation of, it's an expansion of the mitzvah of Matzah. Well, certainly not. Matzah, right, and dalakosas are obviously independent kiyumin. And therefore, just because the Gemara has a drush of kol shiyeshno to obligate women in matzah, why in the world is that relevant to dalakosas? That's why the Gemara requires an additional drush of afen hayavos samanes. Rabbeinu Tam, the chiddush of the Ran is only when it comes to Shabbos. That one can argue that kol shiyeshno is, right, a broad umbrella, right, that embraces all the mitzvahs hayom, but not true when it comes to matzah, and that's why the Gemara requires two different drashas. I thought that Poshim Shad, based on Rav Soloveitchik's biur, the diuk and the lashon Rambam, so one can understand very well, right, the Rabbi Elchanan's kasha can be resolved against the shita of the Ran. As mentioned, right, you see clearly from Rav Chidka, right, that ichlu hayom is not the only makor of Siddur Shabbos. If that would be the case, Rav Chidka should say, all you have to do is have three meals during the day of Shabbos. Friday night, whatever you want to do. You want, not no, he says you have to have four. So, what is the source of this fourth siddur? There must be another one. And you don't have to look so far. If you look in Pesachim and Daf Kufei, in Achinami, the Gemara has another makkah for siddur Shabbos. And that is this pasuk of Kavod and Oneg, the Karas of the Shabbos Oneg, the Kadosh Hashem Achumah. In fact, that's where the Gemara raises the following issue with Chiddush, that which is Adif, the mitzvah of Oneg Bayom or the mitzvah of Oneg Balayla. If a person has a delicacy that really will enhance their Suda, when should you have it? Right? Is it best to have it at night? Is it best to have it during the day? So the Gemara Pesachim of Kufei writes that the mitzvah of Oneg Bayom is Adif. And therefore, the Chol, for example, serve that during the day. Right? That which is deemed choshu, that's what a person really enjoys. So therefore the Iker mitzvah of Oneg is considered to be bayam. Right? That's what Rashi quotes in Gittin Daf Lam Ches as well, just a little bit later, right, in Perek HaShaleach. It's interesting, this is against the Zohar. Right? The Zohar writes that the Iker mitzvah of Oneg is balayla. Right? And the Bavli is Mufurish, the Iker mitzvah of Oneg is bayam. It's a very unusual example of a machlokas between, right, the Bavli and the Zohar. But what do you see clearly? Right? That the mitzvah, right, of Suda is based on Oneg. And that's what the Rambam writes in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos. In Perek Lamed of Hilchos Zayin, the Rambam writes Ezeu Oneg, and the Rambam describes, right, the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. That's the mitzvah of Oneg. So apparently you see that there are two makaros, right, for the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. One is Ichlu Hayom, but in addition to that, there's the mitzvah Oneg as well. That Pashav Shat is the Chiddush of Chidka. There's a mitzvah of Oneg, and Oneg requires a Suda Balayla and a Suda Bayom. And that's what the Gemara debates, which is Adiv, Oneg Balayla and Bayom. So Chidka says the following, you have to have three meals during the day, Ichlu Hayom, but that's a total of four, because three plus the Gemara Pesach and Daf Kufei, right? So therefore you have a total of four Sudos. So in other words, that there are two halachos, two kiyumim. When it comes to the chiv of Suda Shabbos, one is Oneg, another is Ichlu Hayom. You know where you see that this is true? If you look in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Tzadi Aleph, the Mechaber writes the following. It's interesting. In Hilchos Pesach, the Mechaber does not write this. But the model is in Reish Tzadi Aleph, in Hilchos Shabbos. Right, we had, right, this past year, Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Right, so how do you get three Sudos into that short window of time? So one, Eitzah, discussed at length by the Achronim, is splitting the meal. Right? Split a meal in the morning, and therefore that will be your second and third Suda. In Hilchos Pesach, the Shulchan doesn't suggest that Eitzah, but in Hilchos Shabbos, that's what the Mechaber discusses. Nimshach HaSudas HaBoker. What happens if all of a sudden you're having your Shabbos Suda? And it's in the winter, Shkia is pretty early, and all of a sudden you realize it's pretty late. We have to go to Mincha very soon. What do? This is our second meal. That's where the Mechaber writes that Yafsik Hasudo Vivarat Berchas HaMatzah. Split the meal in two. Go ahead and bench. Have somewhat of a hefsik, and then have Shalosh Shuddos. So let me ask you very simply, what is driving that halacha? Right? Split your meal in two. It's obviously not driven by Oneg. What? That's a Tosefes Oneg. You have a four-course meal. Good, so the Oneg is enhanced if it's two and two as opposed to four. That's an enhancement of Oneg. As far as Oneg is concerned, Oneg is exactly the same. The menu will be identical. The need to split the meal, obviously, that's a function of Ichlu Hayom, the Minyan Hasudos. You have to have three meals. And that's what the Mechaber writes, that push comes to shove. You're running late. You have to split because of the Chiyuv of Ichlu Hayom. A further nafkamina is the following, and that is, what about regarding Yantif? And very simply, Parshas Peshalach, the Parshas Haman, man fell every day, double portion on Erev Shabbos, no man on Shabbos. Is that limited to Shabbos, or does that apply even to Yantif as well? So Tosus already writes in Beitz Daf Beis Medreis that Hamidrashim Chalukim Bazeh. Tosus writes, Machlokes. Some Midrashim indicate that that's the uniqueness of Shabbos. Merchel Bezman, Bekit Shebaman, only uniquely true of Shabbos. And Tosfos points out, there are other Midrashim indicated that no, a double portion of man would fall on Erev Yantif as well. So that's an interesting issue. So the Dinei Haman, that which we derive from the Parshas Haman, is this limited to Shabbos, or does this apply even when it comes to Yantif as well? Those two halachos and Kuf Yud Zayin, three sudos lecha mishnah. Only on Shabbos or even on Yantif as well. So the Rambam, right, they apply even on Yantif. And the Rambam describes, right, the Chiyuv of Shalosh Shudos, not only on Shabbos, but even on Yantif as well. The Rambam in Perek Lamed, Halachates of Shabbos, describes the Dinim Suda, and you have to have three meals. Chayiv Adon Lecho, Shalosh Shudos B'Shabbos. And then the Rambam concludes, Bechein, right, to be Yamin Tovim. And Yantif also, why should Yantif be different? The Rambam assumes that all these halachas of Zeichel Haman apply in that case. And the Mechaber does not possibly like that Rambam. The Mechaber in the very end of Hilchos Yantif, the last Siman Hilchos Yantif is Siddhas Yantif, Tovkuv Chotes. And there, the Mechaber writes that you have to have two meals. And Yantif. You don't have to have a third Siddha. In fact, it's somewhat difficult because that's our Pesach, no? We have two meals on Yantif, but we have Lechem Mishnah. It's a little bit unusual. Like Lechem Mishnah and Shalosh Shudos, it's the same Gemara. Kuf Yizan Abayz and Shabbos. Gemara says there are two halachas that are Zeichel Haman. Right? It's an interesting split. The Mechaber really doesn't explain. The Mechaber writes that Chayiv Livtso al Shtei Kikaros. Right? That's in Tavkuf Chavtes. And the Mechaber writes, Vanog Ulasos Posudah Shlishis. It's the same halacha. The Mechaber writes, one yes, one no. A little bit unclear. In the Frankel Rambams, they have the Pirush of Rabbeinu Manoach. All right, so if you look in Rabbeinu Manoach, in Chavoschamit Zematzah, in Periches Halacha Vav, there Rabbeinu Manoach writes, it's based on Psukim. It's based on Psukim. But when it comes to Yichlu Hayom, there the Pasuk stresses Shabbos. Shabbos. That is only Shabbos, not Yantif. And when it comes to Lechem Mishnah, here in Parshas Peshalach, Hu asher diber Hashem Shabbosan Shabbos Kodesh. That's the drush of Rabbeinu Manoach. Shabbosan Shabbos Kodesh. There's a double lashon of Shabbos and Shabbosan. So that's the Gzeiras HaKos Rabbeinu Manoach points out. And when it comes to right that aspect, either as a drush or as an asmafta, however you hold, right, they write that there's a ribui when the Torah describes Lechem Mishnah as opposed to the drush of Ichlu Hayom when it comes to Suda. So an interesting chiddush that the Arp Sak Halach has two sudas on Shabbos, but none of the Lechem Mishnah. But that's the difference. Well, if Ichlu Hayom doesn't apply on Yantif, so why do you have to have a suda on Yantif altogether? The answer is Psachim Kufay. There are two makaros for suda, Oneg and Ichlu Hayom. So even if you assume that Ichlu Hayom does not apply, either based on Gzeiras HaKosar, but maybe the man fell on Yantif, like Ochel Nefesh. So the Pasuk of Emusin Subasad doesn't apply on Yantif, but there still is a mitzvah of Oneg. So that's exactly why on Yantif, two yes, you have to have a Suda Balayla and a Suda Bayom, that's Oneg, you don't have to have a third Suda. Right? That Chiddush. will split the case of Shabbos and Yom Tov. The fact that there are two Makaros, that's why you also understand the various days in Reish Tzadi Aleph regarding the makeup of the Suda. What exactly is necessary for Suda Shlishis? Do you have to have Pas for Shalosh Shudas, or do you not? He says, no, these are several days in Mechab and Reish Tzadi Aleph. Again, but this Machlokas is only when it comes to Shalosh Shudas. When it comes to the first meal of Shabbos, the second meal of Shabbos, right, you can have Peros, you can have Minya Targima. No, certainly not. That's Mechorsh Mechaber. Mechaber writes in Reish Ayin Dalet, Suda 1, Suda 2 requires Pas, period. Then you get to Reish Tzadi Aleph, all of a sudden the Mechaber starts telling you, you know what? Sometimes you can have Mizonos, and sometimes you have Peros, and sometimes Minya Targima. Why is this only in Reish Tzadi Aleph and not early in Reish Ayin Dalet? The answer is because it doesn't apply in Reish Ayin Dalet. The first two sudos are oneg. Oneg requires a full-blown suda. Oneg requires pas. Here, this third suda, which is derived from the Parsha Saman, Bichlu Hayom, that's what the Mechaber writes. That's already the Rishonim. One can question. Ichlu Hayom, does that necessarily mean Kviyas HaSuda HaPas? Maybe not. Maybe other forms of achila are considered to be sufficient for Ichlu Hayom. And that's what the Mechaber writes in Reish Tzadi Aleph, that ideally one should wash even for Shalosh Shudas. To be machmer that even Ichlu Hayom requires pas. But the Mechaber writes earlier in Kuf Pei Ches, what happens if you forget Ritzei? So the rule of thumb of the Mechaber is only when there is a Chiyuv Suda are you obligated to repeat the Berachas HaMazon. So therefore the Mechaber writes as follows, you forget Ritzei for Suda 1, Suda 2, you have to repeat Benching. You forget Ritzei in Shalosh Shudas, so look, even though lechatchila you should wash, but b'diavad, there's a backup position. If you were to have other things, you wouldn't be reciting Ritzei. So in such a case, b'diavad, Ritzei is not considered to be likuva. So that's the split of the Mechaber, lechatchila and b'diavad, right, when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, but not when it comes to the first two sudos. And why are they different? Because in Oneg, there's no machlokes. Oneg requires a suda chashuva. That requires pas. The only issue is when it comes to the case of Ichlu Hayam. So here, further in Afghamihad, the Rama writes the following chiddush in Reish Tzadi Aleph. Let's assume, for example, a person didn't have a meal below Shabbos. Right? All of a sudden, whatever, he slept through. Right, wakes up to Shabbos morning, he realizes that he didn't have a siddur whatsoever. So Rama writes an interesting chiddush that you have to have three meals during the day of Shabbos. Mishlo achal below Shabbos, yochal shalosh shudos b'yom haShabbos. So what exactly is this? A person didn't fulfill the meal at night, so have the meal during the day. It's a tashlumin. Right, tashlumin in tefillah rachamin in tashlumin when it comes to Suda Shabbos. As he pointed out, there's a mitzvah of oned balayla, there's a mitzvah of oned bayom. The Gemara debated which is better. So there's a mitzvah of oned balayla. So you missed it. You missed it. Well, what do you mean? Just double up. Go ahead and make up during the day. So pashup shat one could argue as follows that this is not tashlumin at all. You're not making up the chiyuv that you missed. There are two halachos. There's oneg, meaning oneg balayla, oneg bayom, and there's ichlu hayom. And these are independent kiyumim. And the answer is the follows. If you don't have a meal balayla, you've missed the mitzvah of oneg balayla. You missed it. What does that mean? So therefore only have two meals? No, you still have the chiyuv of ichlu hayom. Ichlu Hayom obligates you to have three meals during the day of Shabbos. So split the meal, have an additional meal by Yom, not as Tashlumei Oneg, but rather as the Kiyum of Ichlu Hayom. Perhaps that's the Chiddush, the Ramah. Not Midin Tashlumen at all, but rather the two halachas. If that's true, so I'll suggest you a couple of nafgaminas. One nafgamina is Mefurish in Birkei Yosef. Rabbi Yosef is found there in Reish Tzadi Aleph and Sivkot Nehei. But take a look. There the Chidah writes the following. Right, an interesting charifus. A person didn't have a meal on Lel Shabbos. So now what do I do? The Ramah says have three meals during the day of Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef writes, and he forgot Ritzei in the second meal. The second meal. Rabbi Yosef writes, you're not chosen. That second meal is Dino Kishalashims. That's what Rabbi Yosef writes. Not yeah, in Achinami, fits him beautifully. Oneg is Mechaye Vesuda Gemura. Ichlu Hayom, the Mechaber writes, B'dieved, you don't have to be chosen for Ichlu Hayom. In this case, when a person did not have a meal balayla and he has three meals during the day, the first suda is oneg bayom. The second and third suda is ichlu hayom. So therefore, the Berkei Yosef writes, it can only be chosen for it, say, in the first suda, and not in the second, the third suda. That's the psak of the Berkei Yosef. I'll further suggest an afkamina, right? And that, I'll tell you, very meduyak. This halach, you forget a meal, for whatever reason, you have a meal, double up. That's found in Reish Sadi Aleph. Reish Sadi Aleph is, right, Hilchos Shabbos. And what about Tavkuf Chavtes, Hilchos Yantif? You don't find such halach. I would argue that's very meduyak. Right, in Hilchos Shabbos, you have to make up. Not make up. Oneg, you miss. V'dichlu hayom. And what about when it comes to Yantif? So good, the Mechaber who assumes that on Yantif you only have two sudas because Ichlu hayom doesn't apply. So, I would have argued that if you don't have a meal and the night of Yantif, so you're having an extra meal during the day, what does that accomplish? That's Tashlumi Oneg Balayla. Maybe the Mechaber is only Ichlu hayom. I would argue that's true. Berkei Yosef doesn't spell that out, but I would tell you, according to Berkei Yosef, that's certainly true. Because if you look in the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham makes, like what sounds like, an innocent comment, but according to this, not necessarily. The Magen Avraham in Reish Sadi Aleph in Sifkat and Beis writes that who had to be yantif. Just like the Rama writes, make up if you miss on Shabbos, the Magen Avraham just writes briefly. Same thing is true when it comes to yantif. Maybe not. Maybe not. If it's Tashlume Oneg, yes, it should apply to Yantif as well. It's not Tashlume Oneg, right? It's the Kima Bichlu Hayom, so in such a case. And I would suggest that according to the Birkei Yosef, that you're not chozer for the second Suda, that means the Mechayv is only a Chlu Hayom. So in such a case, there's no need to make up when it comes to that instance of a person who's not Soed Balayla on Yantif. Another further nafgamina could be, right, the case of Tosefes, we discussed earlier. A person can make Kiddush early. Can you have your Suda Shabbos Mibon Yom? So we saw the Razor writes explicitly yes. The Razor says, of course. You can have Suda Shabbos Mibon Yom, and not everyone agrees with that. And that's 2 days, in the very end of Reish Sadi Aleph. The Taz quotes the Marshal and the Sefer HaChassidim that disagree, and maintain that that's not true. That you can't bench before Shekiah. You can't bench before Tzeis. You have to make sure, that's very no gear for the summer months. You're davening at the early minyan. Make sure to have a kazayis of pas lachar Tzeis HaKochovim. And why is that true? Why do you have to have a kazayis of pas lachar Tzeis HaKochovim? Because that's what the Sefer Chazim and the Marshal write. Because the Pasuk says, Ichlu Hayom. You have to eat on the day of Shabbos. And the Marshal of Sefer Chassidim write that Tosefes is not called Ichlu Hayom. That's what the Taz disagrees. We discussed this in earlier Shiurim where the Taz says, no, Tosefes is called the day of Shabbos. That's what Tosefes is. But the Taz, right? Good. Marshal disagrees. Sefer Chassidim disagrees and say, no, Tosefes is not Ichlu Hayom, and therefore, you have to have a kazayis lachar tzeis hakochav. So what does that mean? Start your sukkah earlier, and just make sure to have a kazayis lachar tzeis hakochav. So I'll just make the following har number one. Maybe you would have expected that the Sefer Chassidim should say, well, if ichlu hayom means laila, that's what they're assuming. So what do you mean, therefore? Therefore, make sure to have a kazayis apas lachar tzeis hakochav. Why have your meal after Tzei Sokol Chavim? Therefore, have a kazayis lachar Tzei Sokol Chavim. And what about everything else that you ate before Tzei Sokol? What's that? That's really nothing. The Sefer Chassidim didn't want to be inconvenience us too much, so don't wait. Just have something now. You won't be hungry, but make sure you have a kazayis apas afterwards. You don't get that impression. The Sefer HaFesim Rashal writes, so make sure to have a kazayis, not chatzayis ha-kochavim. Again, according to this Bir Avraham Meduyak as well. Even they would admit that the mitzvah of oneg is mivod yom. It's not an achilas harishus. That's the mitzvah of oneg. Oneg does not require lima. The pasuk of ichlu hayom does. So, beginning, having achila, bizman ha-tosefet, they don't say that that's just an achila sarashus, and that's off limits, or one shouldn't do that, or that's just simply mishum tircha. That is the kim of oneg. In addition to, there's a kim of chlu hayom. So in such a case, see to it that you have a kazayis, nachartzei sakochavim. And in achinami, like if you were to hold like those other shitas in the chaver, reis tari alef, that achilim doesn't require a pas, so I could have argued, have something after Tzeis HaKochav. But ideally, right, we're machmer the machabrais to have pas, and have a kazayis of pas, lachar Tzeis HaKochavim. But the kim of oneg has been come on, man. That certainly would be good. I would suggest even a further chiddush, and that's the following. This chumr the marshal sefer hachasidim, to make sure to have a kazayis lachar Tzeis HaKochavim, does this apply in Yantif? Right, they write this, right? Sarel and Dine Shabbos does a supply yantin. So maybe one could argue, right? Interesting chiddush that no, we assume as the mechaber on yantiv there are only two sudas, which means on yantiv there is no ichlu hayom. And if there is no ichlu hayom, so therefore, even they would admit that one can be so at mivod yom on yantiv. On Shabbos, not. Because ichlu hayom, but if there is no ichlu hayom on yantiv, we assume the halacha like the mechaber. So in such a case, right, their chumra is on Shabbos, their chumra is not on the case of yantiv. I'll admit that this big chiddush that I would suggest is somewhat tempered, tempered in the following sense. So good. So you'll come home and you'll say that on yantiv you can be sod mi bod yom. There's no chumra the sefer chasidim to wait until lachar tzeis hakochavim. So the difficulty, of course, which yantiv? Which yantiv is this true? So on Pesach, no, on Tafayim Beis, the mechaber writes you have to wait until tzeis hakochavim even to make kiddush. No, so it doesn't apply when it comes to right, to Pesach. On Sukkos, the Rama writes in Tafresh Lametes that. That's part of Tesvav, Tesvav. You have to wait until Tzeis HaKochav when it comes to Sukkos as well. When it comes, for example, to Shavuos, that's what the Taz writes, Mishum Tmimos Tiyenu, you have to wait until Tzeis, right, for making Kiddush on Shavuos as well. Right? And when it comes to Shemini Atzeres, right, that's also what the Marshal writes. That's in Tafresh Samach Ches, that you have to wait until Tzeis also, because if it's before Tzeis, what do you do with Sukkah? No? So, you have this theoretical chiddush, but it doesn't apply to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, but I will tell you, Achron Shel Pesach. That's an Afghan. Achron Shel Pesach. Right? Is there any chumran Achron Shel Pesach to be soed balayla? So I would suggest that, according to this viewer, if the chumra the Sefer HaChasidim and the chumra the Marshal is only when it comes to Ichlu Hayom, so therefore, right, even if one is machmer for all other times on Achron Shel Pesach, maybe there is right that possibility. Maybe Rosh Hashanah as well, right? If again Tosefos would be good in those cases, but Lamdas, right? That's an interesting chiddush. When you look in the Parshas Haman, right, the Torah describes the man as being a nisayon. Now, the Torah writes, "Hinei haman tolachem lechem min hashamayim, ho falam lachtel v'yom v'yomo." This is considered to be right the nisayon of the man, the nisayon of the man. So the Rishonim already bothered why the Torah characterizes the man as being a nisayon. Right? After all, right, the Medrash Rabbah writes, it's found in the Midbar Rabbah and Parsha Zayin, that the man was a tremendous chesed. Rosh Hashanah Yochai says that kol madane olam tomim b'man, right, that right, the taste of any delicacy was found in the man, whatever you intended, right, that was its taste. Right, l'chora, this was considered to be, right, a great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, in the Haggadah and Dayenu, we mentioned this, that Achilu HaSaman is considered to be, right, something which is b'chasdei Hashem, and yet the pasuk tells us that l'man en asena. Rashi, to some extent, is madche, Rashi writes, what was the Nisayon? Rashi writes, the mitzvah satelios bo. Right? Apparently that's what Baruch is troubled by. The man was the Nisayon. The man was a great chesed. So what was the man in Aseno? The mitzvah satelios bo. The mitzvahs. Right? That you can only gather a single portion and not to do so on Shabbos and on Erev Shabbos to gather a double portion. The dinei haman. Right? The meticulous detail, that was considered to be the Nisayon. And the Ramban, right, just writes, Veino Nafal. The Ramban doesn't explain. Poshub Shat, the Ramban is assuming that the man is called a Nisayon, not just simply all the mitzvos hatlios man. And that's why the Ramban writes that it is a Nisayon. Nisayon shlohayav biyada mazan. That they were only given one portion at a time. And that meant that the person had to go to sleep with the house absolutely empty. The person with a family, right, with no food in the cupboards, had to go to sleep, and how that person slept was in Yisayon, right? In Yisayon of Emun and Bitachon. Whether in fact Kadosh Baruch Hu would continue and provide, and that's Laman Nesanel Hayev Bisra Simla. That Chiddush the Ramban, right, is similar to what the Gemara writes in Yuma Daf Ayin Vav, where the Gemara writes that the Talmidim of Rav Shimon Yochai asked him, why did the man have to fall each and every day? Couldn't the man have fallen once a year? And Rav Shimon Yochai answers with the mashlam Ad Radome, that when a melech, right, will give to his son, if he gives him, right, an entire year's worth, he'll see him once a year. Right? And if he gives him a day's worth, the son's going to come back each and every day. For that ration, that was the mashal of Rav Shimon Yochai. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, right, that certain sense that we constantly return. Well, that sense of a dependence. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us one day at a time, right, in order that a person show it mechavin libo lavian shema shema. That's the Chiddush the Ramban writes. That's part of lamana nesena, right, the scope of the man that it was beholchu ha'am v'loktu dvar yom biyomo. Then lamana nesena, right, dvar yom biyomo was considered to be the nisayon. When you look in the Sfarno writes an interesting Chiddush that the man is a nisayon, like the nisayon of Osher. Right, in the sense that when a person does not have, right, that good mimamakim krasi Hashem, common for a person to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. And when a person does have, and one's needs are taken care of, even if it's lechem in Hashemayim, when a person does not feel, right, any need, and a person simply is provided for, right, just sometimes, right, it's very easy for a person simply to, right, assume that there's an entitlement, right, that something is considered to be theirs. And therefore, right, that's the Chiddush the Sforno writes. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm taking care of all your needs. Right? I'm giving you everything that you desire. Everything is necessary. Every time is found in the man. But realize the response, right, to being the recipient, that also is considered to be that which is in Yisayon. I would couch this even in terms of the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Right, the Gemara tells us, right, the sugya, in the beginning of Ketzin Mevarchim, that on the one hand, the pervasive mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, on the other hand, the Gemara says, V'yasavta d'ganecha, right, the machlokes with Rav Shimon Yochai, right, and so on, right, that how is it that a person provides, right? The Gemara is clear that Hanek Batzmacha Minet Derech Eretz means there's a certain sense of achrayus. And Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide an inner chanam of isim gam b'layla, but nonetheless, the asapta d'ganecha. And that's very legitimate. It's legitimate lahalach in terms of the hagdara. The hagdara of Limud HaTorah is free time, unoccupied time. That's what the Stipler writes at length. That know that when a person's time is occupied, he's davening, that's not called bittul Torah. Right? Torah by definition, right, means a person has to learn in lahalacha free time. Free time. That's why there's no p'tur of osik b'mitzvah, pata mitzvah, when it comes to Limud HaTorah. That's what the Stipler explains, the Sigin Shops and Abdes. What do you mean osik is a pata mitzvah? No. When a person is osik b'mitzvah, there's no chiyuv of Tama Torah. So in such a case, you can't say I'm learning, therefore I am considered to be exempt. When it comes to certain dinim d'rabanon and certain individuals, Torah sum naso, that's true, midrabanon, lacham sometimes not mechayiv. But in a din d'araisa, there's no p'tur of osik mitzvah, potman mitzvah. Why is that true? Because osik mitzvah serves that there's a chiyuv. I must do this now, I can't do this. Right? In Limud HaTorah, that's not true. Only when the time is unoccupied do we assume that that in fact is true. It's an important hagdar. The mashal that the Stipler gives is a person does not have funds, he's exempt from tzedakah. It's not that an onus rachmana patre, in the sense that you're only obligated to give that which you have. Time which you have, which is yours, which is free, unoccupied time, that's when a person is obligated to engage in limud HaTorah. So occupied time, right, can mean mitzvahs. Occupied time can mean, that's what the Gemara writes, Nechalam Dvav and Bracha, Savi Asaf Lid Ganecha as well. But sometimes time is occupied because there's certain chiyuvim, there's certain shibudim that a person has. Right? When the Chazon Ish first came to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't recognize immediately that who he was, and the person asked him, do you learn? Do you ever learn? And he answered, he learns in his free time. That was the Hagdar. That's a very important Hagdar Lalaf. Person learns in free time. That's the chiyuv of Lima Torah. Right? The challenge is to see to it that the time is free, but the Hagdar is certainly that which is true. It's true lahalacha, it's true, right, the Lamdas, and that's true of Yasapa de Ganecha as well. That's part of the Nisayin of the Man. It means the following, that when a person is provided for, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to, right, provide you with everything. And you don't have to go out and do all that much. All you have to do is step out, but that is exactly what the Pasuk says, Laman Anasenu. That is considered to be the great Nisayin. When time is kind of unoccupied, how is that time spent? And sometimes a person legitimately can say, I can't have a Seder now because I have this responsibility and that responsibility. And then there's even a Zmanin, when those responsibilities kind of don't exist and the time is free. How that free time is spent sheds light not only on that window, but no doubt that spills over into the p'tur, so to speak, right? W Asafta de Ganecha. If it's legit, that means the free time is spent, right, being osik p'torah. And if the free time is not used for that, then the occupation is incidental, right? Then if I wasn't occupied, I'd be doing something else. In any case, that's an important Musar Haskins. That's Pashur Shat with the Svarno rites. That when everything is taken care of, when you have lechem and hashamayim, shelo yitzter shum tikun, right? Uveze yiyu pinuyim mikol. That's lashon of the Svarno. Now you're absolutely free. You have nothing to worry about. Ve'era hayelech b'sarasimna. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now we'll see whether, in fact, that a person can fully commit themselves to the Torah session, where everything, in fact, is provided for. There's an interesting chiddush that it's found in Parsha Shlach. It's found in the Sfasemis, and it's also found in the Hagdama to the Tshuvas Ksav Sofer. That what were the Meraglim, Meshem Shemayim, thinking? Like, what was their mindset? Right? It's like one assumes, right? As many Midrashim indicate, that the Meraglim were not, they weren't vile individuals. These were the Chashuvim who did not want to let go of, right, what Bnei Yisrael had at that particular time. So the Sfas Emes and the Ksav Sofer, right? This was exactly, right, the reality that they felt one cannot let go of. That they were living in an idyllic world in the Midbar, where they were given the Man, right? They were given the Be'er, they were given Anani HaKavod. It's kind of hard, right, to be able to turn to a nation and say, you know what? Enter Eretz Yisrael, right? Without all these gifts, without the Man, without the Be'er, without Anani HaKavod. Right, go into Eretz Ocheles Es Yosheva. It's going to be consuming, right, and this is what you're going to have to do. And that's something that they, right, did not want to let go of. And no doubt, the Torah envisioned that the Man was that the Midbar was a Horasha. That was not the permanent condition of Knesset Yisrael. The permanent condition is going into Eretz Yisrael and being able, the Asafta de Ganecha, to be able to work, as opposed to simply being on the receiving end. Right, being given the Be'er, the Man, and the Anani HaKavod. And that Be'er L'Shem Shemayim was that difficult transition that the Meraglim simply did not want to let go of. Right, they also add, they allude to a following distinction. When you look in the end of Parsha Shlach, the Torah mentions certain mitzvahs, no? That you're going to go, right, into Eretz Yisrael, right, you're going to have an opportunity to fulfill mitzvahs Hashem. And the mitzvahs that the Torah underscores are the mitzvah of challah, and the mitzvah of nisachim, unusual, nisachim, agav mizbeach. And the very conclusion of Parsha Shlach is the mitzvah of tzitzis. And that's where the Parsha's that tzitzis is found. So is there any link? Is there any connection? So perhaps one could suggest, right, the link should be understood as follows. That here you're living, right, in an idyllic, right, world. Right? Everything is provided for. Right? You have the man, you have the be'er, you have an ani hakavod, right? Pnuyim yikol. And you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, no doubt. It's going to require work, it's going to require effort. V'yasavta deganecha, Eretz Yilcheles es yoshveva. And the Torah gives us, right, the mitzvah chal and yisachim and tzitzis. Perhaps one could suggest that there's somewhat of correspondence, and that's the following. That right now, you have the man. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, the man is going to stop. You're going to have to work, you're going to have to toil, right? You're going to have to provide, right, in that sense. But you should realize that there's a mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala, right? In other words, that the ideal is to be able to take that which, right, a person can attain and to elevate that, right? And be makdish, to be mekadish that, no? And therefore, you're going to say that you're going to have to work, you're going to have to toil, you're going to have to create, it's true, but you'll be mafresh chala, right? And there's an opportunity to fulfill, right, that mitzvah, safrasha, right? After all, that right now you're just simply given the be'er, that's true, but you're going to have a beis hamikdash, you're going to offer nisachim, right? And the nisachim is a further, right, indicator of the very mayim, for example, that is offered, right, and that is given to you, but now that something can be elevated for purposes of Kedusha. The Nani HaKavod, right, no doubt, was to envelop into, right, enwrap, so to speak, Knesset Yisrael. Now, that was to serve as, right, that sense of Hashgacha, that's the essence of the mitzvah of tzitzis. That a person can take a beged and affix tzitzis, and the beged now becomes, right, Tashmishei Mitzvah, and a person can, right, cloak himself, envelop himself, right, in that sense of Risa Moso, who's Chartim is Chomitzos Hashem. Right, whenever one is faced with that type of challenge, right, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be able to elevate what otherwise could be considered to be mundane. The food and the mayim and the clothing is something that can be, right, utilized as Tashmishei Mitzvah. So perhaps it's not coincidental at all that at the conclusion, right, of the Parsha Samarag, when the Torah gives us these examples of mitzvahs in order to indicate the opportunity to be able to utilize, right, that sense of Gashmias and that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides, but to be able to elevate the Talham Shemayim into Mishmani Haaretz, and to be able to allow that to be used, right, for Avodas Hashem. That's an important Musar Haskel, also part of the Parsha Saman, the downside, so to speak, being only, right, on the receiving end, where a person can go ahead and utilize his kochos and to be makdish that Hashem Shemayim. Okay.